There is none like you. We worship you, Father of glory, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The God of all glory, the Father of all comfort. We worship you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, risen King, Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Our Lord and our Master, our brother and our friend. You sit at the right hand of the Father in majesty, ever living to make intercession for us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Precious Holy Spirit, inner strengthener, friend that sticks closer than a brother, God that is more than enough. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you because you are the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Resident member of the Godhead here on earth. Thank you for your presence. Thank you because by your power, our God will do exceedingly and abundantly, more than which we ask nor think. Come and have your free course in our meeting. Empower the word. Transform our hearts. Transform our lives. Let glory go to the name of Jesus. And blessings to us, the sons of men. We need you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We worship you. Triune Deity, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, we bless, worship, and adore you in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you as we go into the word. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. As myself, Pastor Lalu, will be sharing, we come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of Pastor Lubia Momisera, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, and under you, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. We worship you. Pray that, Lord, as we have the grace to minister your word will go forth with power, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. The word of God will have a free course, and the word of God will be glorified. By the Spirit and the word, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will meet needs, you will bring glory to the name of Jesus, and blessings to us, the sons of men. We thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Forever, praise the Lord.
We worship forever. Oh, we love you forever. We love our lover, our brother, our closest friend.
Jesus' name we worship. Praise the Lord. God say, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. So there's times God gives us, many times in our lives, God gives us beacon of lights. People that God has broken, God has transformed and moves through to serve as a guide to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So as we follow them, as they are following God, we will definitely also fulfill our destinies in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about vessels for the glory. Praise the Lord. Vessels for the glory. And God helped us. Amen. Somehow, like Pastor Lou will say, somehow God helped us. Amen. And the truth at the end of the day is the help of God that makes all the difference. Amen. It is the help of God that makes all the difference. I didn't plan today, but in 2 Samuel, I think 6, and 1 Corinthians, I don't know whether it's 22 or 24. Those two chapters, the story of David returning back the ark to Jerusalem. And in the story, David, out of the honesty of his heart, said, how can I be dwelling in a house of cedar, excellent house, in our current day Nigeria, house with marbles? See, and the house of the tent of God is staying, the tabernacle of God is staying just under a tent. Praise the Lord. So he now said, He wants to even bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And when they went to carry the ark. They were singing, they were rejoicing. And then they got somewhere and the ark started to shake. And someone, Uzziah, tried to stabilize it. And God smote him and he died. And everybody said, ah! David said, I beg. I don't want, this ark is. So they just dropped the ark somewhere and they went back. Apparently, where they now dropped the ark, in Obed-Edom's place, from the time they dropped the ark, they just saw that Obed-Edom started to prosper. Who doesn't want to prosper? So, and I said, David and I had Obed-Edom, God had prospered him. Said, okay, they now made a second journey to bring the ark back. But this time, there were some specifications. They said, David wore the linen ephod. Linen depicting righteousness. And he said, when the people, the priests, when they carry the ark, after every six steps, they sacrifice. After every six steps, they sacrifice. So the linen ephod depicts to us righteousness. You want to carry the ark depicts the glory of God. Six steps. Six is the number for man. For every human fault, human activity, you plead the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You come under the blood. Amen. When you come to your human reasoning, you come under the blood. Every six space. So, they put in some processes that was not there the first time. David was in an effort. After every six steps, they sacrificed. And they praised the Lord with all their hearts. So, one, we want to conclude that those steps made the difference. And now the ark now got to his resting place of glory. But something is missing. In one small verse in 1 Chronicles, he says, and it came to pass that after the Lord helped the Levites. Praise the Lord. And one man of God said, if you remove that sentence, all the linear effort and the six steps will come to nothing. Praise the Lord. It came to pass that when the Lord helped the Levites, and then the Levites now blew the trumpet and go. So let your testimony be that God helped you. Praise the Lord. You prayed, we thank God. You read your Bible, we thank God, and you should do. But at the end of the day, if you made it to glory, the testimony is that God helped you. Amen. That's what they say God will do exceedingly and abundantly. More than which you ask nothing. You asked, you thought, that's not enough. It is in that God helping that God does exceedingly and abundantly. Praise the Lord. So that was just by the side. So, and it came to pass, God bless you upstairs, you are with me today. When God helped the Levites, that body accorded, so that, once you remove that, all the effort will go to drain. Amen. Bible actually tells us that all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Amen. It's God's help. So we are talking about vessels for the glory. Christianity, by God's grace, is not complex. Maybe because of the sin nature in us, things look a bit complicated. We were sinners. We were sinners. Spirit, soul, and body. God sent Jesus, who died for us, bore our sins on the cross, went to hell for 3 days, rose up by the power of the Holy Spirit, and picked up his body as a demonstration of transition from a dead state to a life state. Praise the Lord. And that is the same picture, amen, that resurrection, that our spirit man, the principal person that we are, that when we get born again, they say that word of God that we confess and believe in comes inside. We are born again by an incorruptible seed, the word of God that abided forever. Amen. And it changes our spirit man and we become a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. That spirit nature never existed before. Praise the Lord. It's like at fertilization. when the sperm fertilizes the egg, what the genetic combination that takes place is completely unique. There's no way you say the guy looks, it's a complete carbon copy of his father. It's not true. That person is completely separate and unique. His fingerprints will show it. His DNA will show it. It's a combination that has never existed before. The deeper we are going in biology now, the more you give God respect. There are currently 6 point something, almost 7 billion on the earth. All of them with a genetic combination that does not resemble the other person. Let's leave out those who have existed hitherto and those who will continue to exist. And I say, he knows your name. When Bible says, the hair of your head knows, it means every genetic difference God knows. So, at born again, the spirit man is recreated and will become a new creature. Praise the Lord. Now, that is transformation. But after transformation, which gets us born again and makes us citizens of heaven, after transformation comes spiritual growth. Amen. That is the part the church has missed out. Transformation doesn't end it. After it comes spiritual growth, man and wife, God bless us, fruit of the womb, bless us, fruit of the womb, bless us. Then you are blessed and you give birth to your baby. And then does it end there? After you've given birth to the baby, then comes the you have to manage the growth. Amen. Manage the growth. It just can't be a baby. That's the way we are doing in church. We get born again and we just want to stay there. No. After the born again, now comes a process of growth. Why do you want your baby to grow? The baby now grows and comes to your image and likeness. It's not you, but comes to your image and likeness. Praise the Lord. At least I have a first son that someone saw him and just said, this must be the son of that man. He has never seen him before. Thank God he is no longer the baby. He has grown and come to the image. Same thing God designed. That we get born again, which is great. Said just for someone to get born again, they can leave the others and run and find that one. God wants the one. But after he's born again, he enters a part of growth. So that he can grow and become get to the image of Christ. Praise the Lord. The fact that something is difficult or has not happened doesn't mean it will not happen. Praise the Lord. Doesn't make the word of God void. Because what you need to know is that what God has said will happen, we are just waiting for the timing. Amen. And the fulfillment of the conditions. So spiritual growth is what God has put in. And the whole essence of growth is like two sides of the coin. Clean out the sin nature, develop the nature of Christ. Praise the Lord. So you are born again, that spirit is clean. But you still have sin nature in the soul, will, mind, emotion, body. Okay? That's the soul and the body. Then that nature of Christ that is in your spirit now wants to grow into that will, mind, emotion, and body. Amen. That's the whole essence. First John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John 3:5. You are with me before. 1 John 3:5. Okay. And you know, he's talking about Christ, that he was manifested. That he was to give you a life partner. Okay. Let's imagine Christ comes to your room. He has appeared to people before. And he appeared and said, that person will be your life partner. Won't you be happy? Don't deceive yourself now. Okay. And you know that he was manifested to give you a life partner. You said no, Abby. What he says, to do what? And in him is no sin. When you go down the verse, he now say, he said, no, let's go. I think verse 7, 8. For this cause was the Son of God made manifest. Next verse. He that committed sin, Eka, is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. So you can see that sin is an issue. Praise the Lord. The devil is not the devil from the beginning. The devil sinned. That was the origin of sin. So he that committed sins of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. We're going to back to what say 5. That he might destroy the works of the devil. In order to say, was manifested to take away our sins. Praise the Lord. So if he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning, for this purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. That works of the devil is sin. Isn't it? Now, because sin came, some other, that which was the root, some other branches started showing up. Sicknesses, poverty, okay? Lack, confusion, and co. Now, what we are doing in church, and God have mercy on us, is that we got born again, and on the born again, we left spiritual growth out and preached only prosperity, visa, life partner, lucky house, $1 million, that's what we are preaching. Okay? Now, those things are not wrong completely in their place. But we can't remove the primary reason. It was manifested to take our sin. Immediately, he took it away from your spirit. You got born again. Praise the Lord. But you still have it in will, mind, emotion, body. So you, because as long as those things are there, then the devil will be having place. Praise the Lord. So that is what the center of Christianity. God, it's no problem of God blessing people. Amen. Oh, God will always bless. He says he rain to the good and to the evil. So that's his nature. Blessing is his nature. But he's grieved when the reason why the sacrifice was made, we are forgotten. And we are pursuing other things. Amen. Seek ye first the what? And all other things. He has always promised that. He has always promised that. And other things are there. We just need to believe it. Amen. So in church, they've raised up a system that preaches other things and sidelines or just mouth the kingdom. And it is causing confusion. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because it's bringing, raising up a church that cannot face the devil. Because once the sin is not dealt with and is in place, that church can't face the devil. That church can't face the devil. And he now perfected the deception by telling us it's all about being blessed, and then at the rapture, we'll now go to heaven. Let's be very careful. Praise the Lord. Let's do what God tells us to do. I think we said here, don't bother about rapture. Bother about growth. Once you grow, you'll be raptured. That is compulsory. Don't bother about rapture. Bother about growth. Just be growing. Like I said to the student, you want to graduate. Why are you bothering about graduation? Just read your book. If you read your book, you will graduate. But you came in, matric, born again. And then, you stopped reading your book. And you just say, one day, I'll graduate. That's what the church does. They get born again. They don't face the situation. And they say, one day, we'll remain rapturable. We'll be raptured. Praise the Lord. Let's face spiritual growth. And that's why we are here in Zion City Fellowship. God wants to raise up young people who are already growth-minded. Amen. Who are remembering their Creator when? In the days of their youth. Praise the Lord. In the days of their youth. What did you go to campus to do? And graduate, isn't it? That's what you went there to do. It's the main. But is that the only thing we do? No. At least I went to campus too. Okay? I was the debater. I was in press club. I went to India regularly. I think I went to Queens more than India. My friends were in Queens. Went to Queens regularly. They would cook jollof rice. We'll sit down. We'll eat. We'll gist. The only thing is that when it's 6 weeks to exam, then there's no more Queens and India. Why? We remember the reason why we came here. Praise the Lord. And then we now start to restructure the reading timetable. I mean, that was for me, those 6 weeks to exam. These are emergency period. Okay, what does emergency mean? India, Queens is out. Okay? Then we want to pick the reading gradually from 2 hours a day to pick at 6 hours reading a week to exam. I mean, that's how I handle my 12 semesters that I spent in the university, a 6-year course. Because you know the reason why you came here. But you came to campus, you got the matric. When is class going, you are in the basketball court. You have test the next day. You are in Queens Hall. You are taking somebody out. What will happen at the end of the day? They are going to drive you out. It's not that everybody that graduated did not go to India or did not do socials or did not join press club or play sports. They all did, but they never left the main reason why they came to school, the priority. Praise the Lord. Same thing for Christianity. Same thing. So if people have become Christian, it's all about prosperity, visa, life partner, leave growth out. You are a low return on investment. A very low return on investment. God planted one Jesus to reap many Jesuses. Praise the Lord. And God is the real investor. Amen. And he says, somewhere in Isaiah, he says, he will see the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. The whole reason, I always tell people, do you know, for Jesus to come into the world, it's not a process. I personally don't understand it fully. It still had to take thousands of years. There was a preparation from heaven to make that condition ripe. 400 years, a virgin shall conceive. That prophetic word came, but the word still had to be. The word took 400 years to build the vessel. So God said, you will see his return on his investments. Praise the Lord. I said a story here many years ago. I don't know if I've said it or recent. I entered school, UI 86. So around 89, 90. June 12 was 93. So 89, 90, the country was going through severe economic depression. The military had balkanized everything. Things were tough. That was the time they started devaluing the naira. Very tough. Strikes were regular. And many people were leaving the country. 89. 90, 87, 88, 89. Oh, no, it was when we were leaving the country. And there was this group of friends. Virtually everybody left. But this boy, I mean, had this story. I saw them, they were in UI too. 300 level, sociology. He leaves. Once he gets the visa, he's out. So this boy was doing maybe accounting or something, HND. He was just not ready to leave his education to go to UK. So he finished his accounting. All his friends went to the UK. Then when he finished, I think he did ICANN, went through all the stages. He became an accountant. And he was working, I don't know whether that's accounting or Otto Anderson, got a job in Otto Anderson. He was working. I don't know whether they still bear that name. I think it's Anderson Coopers or something now. He was working at Anderson. And then, after a while, they seconded him to the London office. Not permanently, maybe like a 6 months or 1 year stay. He was so excited. his friends for many years that he has not seen. So the company booked him an accommodation. He said he did not want that, he would go and stay with his friends. So when he got there, many good things. Well, his level in UK is, that's the salary they were giving. The salary they were paying is level in UK. Definitely, that was not a salary in Nigeria. But let's say he was senior accounting manager. What senior accounting manager is any? That's what they were paying him in London. Then all his friends, all the while, never went to school. And they were all schooling together. Higher institution, university, poly. So he went to stay with them. They were all in one long room with mattresses on the floor. By 4:35, most of them are out. Three jobs. Job one. Yeah. He has to resume, senior accounting manager, he has to resume at 8:30. So he will sleep well till about 6:30. By the time he wakes up, they've all gone. And then he'll finish work. He'll come back. 5, watch TV. They will come in like 11. And they were all not earning half of what he was earning. The same Nigerian education they despised. This guy finished it. Did I can? And got seconded to the UK. The main thing, he faced it. He faced it. And it became a pearl of great price. Real life story. You know, sometimes I say, just be where God wants you to be. Just be where God wants you to be. Be sensitive. Don't calculate your life with your head. You don't know a lot of things. I tell my son, that's why we pray. What do you know? What your teacher taught you and the exam you will do. You think that's life? That's why we pray. Don't lose the main thing. Praise the Lord. And all other things will be added. And in the end times, God even wants to show that all other things are for his people. Amen. I've said it here before. Pastor has prophesied here and I keep echoing it. From the church, the best novelists, playwrights, engineers, scientists. We have already started seeing samples. Praise the Lord. Already seen samples. Who stayed with God, and yet they remain the best in their field. Amen. God is not an extra baggage. God is the main thing. Praise the Lord. God is the main thing. It's not an extra baggage. So, growth is what, and that's why we come here every Friday, keep hearing that message, encouraging us, praise the Lord, to the path of growth. That spirit man that has been saved is what you now need to build upon. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's like the primary education you went to do in university. You may end up playing basketball. You may even end up playing basketball as a career. But once you have that education, people will know that you are different. Amen. Even with it's the basketball you went to do. Some people finish law, they go to fashion. In fashion, you will see that this person is different. He's educated. Praise the Lord. So God won't keep. It is that education. It now percolates into every aspect of your life and makes what you are doing established. Praise the Lord. It is this same Christianity, amen, that will percolate into every area of your life. It's not that you will be blessed. You know, I give you an example of when I went to Taiwan. You'll be blessed, but see, if you follow God, blessing will not destroy you. Praise the Lord. You will now know how to control things. You know the limits. That's the importance of spiritual growth. That's the importance of spiritual growth. I'm going to round up soon. Joseph, Samson, were all children of God. Were all chosen of God. were both called of God. Joseph took spiritual growth seriously. Samson just stayed on the gifts and despised spiritual growth. And you saw where it ended. There's no better way to describe what we are talking than that. Amen. And many God's prophets have been saying it, that the current church, if they don't change the way they do things, there's going to be a tsunami. Many Samsons are going to fall. Their eyes will be removed and their head shaved. Hair is the covering. Eye is the vision. No covering, so they are now exposed to the elements of satanic attack and they have no vision. It will not be our portion in Jesus' name. That's why we are talking. But Joseph stayed with the spirituality. It didn't seem to bring dividends, but he stayed with it. He stayed with it. They always tell you, Joseph was in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was in Potiphar, but the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. What do you want to grab at the expense of God being with you? He said, you have this, but God is not with you. He said, Samson shook himself, but he did not know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. What do we want to get at the expense of God being with us? Joseph didn't seem to be getting much, but he said the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with Joseph. And one day, like a suddenly, they said they should go and bring him from prison to appear before the king. Like a suddenly. And then someone be from prisoner to prime minister in one day. It looked like one day. It was on one day. There was a preparation at the background and Joseph endured it. Amen. So, we are all going to have our day of showing. Praise the Lord. But a background. A background was there. It will look like one day, but it's not one day. I had a senior in secondary school. It was 2 years my senior. At prize giving day, normally, the school I went, brilliant people come to school and 9 prizes or 10 subjects that you do in those days. 10, 11 subjects. Maths, English, physics, chemistry, biology, agri, econs, geography, history, literature, home economics. So the subjects were the typical British subjects until everything has liberalized now. And so most times at prize giving day, some of those best, the best, brilliant, they take 2, 3. Because this was always a congregation of top brilliant people. But this guy, 2 years my senior. So they called him. Mathematics, Anthony Njoku, he went and collected the prize. He was turning back. Physics, Anthony Njoku, he turned back, collected the prize. Chemistry, Anthony. Biology, Anthony Njoku. Maths, Anthony Njoku. Furthermore, Anthony. The whole place now erupted. And people who never knew him went to the front and started spraying him money. One day of showing. But it wasn't one day. Senior Anthony used to read months before exams. Used to read till 12, 1. But it now looked like one day. Praise the Lord. Consistency is the hallmark of champions. When you see a champion, there is a background of consistency. Praise the Lord. So when it comes to the three cardinal weapons of growth, the three what? Cardinal weapons of growth. The blood of Jesus. The word of God. And prayer and praying in the spirit. Those things are consistently in your life. Amen. Consistently in your life. We are constantly confessing, pleading the blood. The blood of Jesus purges our hearts from dead works and evil consciences so that we can serve God. So It's not that you don't make mistakes. It's that you constantly clean them. Praise the Lord. You constantly clean them. Because what you don't clean is the landing site of the devil. So constantly clean. And then, so that it's not just cleaning alone and that it comes baggage clean, baggage clean. You want to take the battle to the gate. Then start to load yourself with the word of God. Praise the Lord. So that when a baggage you cleaned yesterday, when it's coming again, you say, no, you know, you now say, it is written. Amen. And then the word starts to transform you. Transform you. But like we said, the word of God, only without the power of the Spirit, you just dry up. And then that's, you now add prayer. I'm praying in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 5:7. I'll give it to Pastor Laolu now. Hebrews 5:7. Who, he's talking about Jesus. Let's read. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Praise the Lord. Prayer, supplication with strong crying. That's Jesus in the days of his flesh. He never took prayer in the Spirit. He never joked with it. The Bible tells us actually in Mark chapter 1 that he used to wake up a great while before day and depart to a solitary place and pray. Praise the Lord. You take your prayer life seriously. Okay? Separate time. Get used to prayer. The more you get used to prayer, and the more the sin nature starts to leave, then you now find out by the grace of God that prayer is a small thing. What really is causing problem with prayer is our sin nature. But consistently as you do it, amen. And we should never be afraid of consistency. Go and see a lawyer. The veteran lawyers, Olanipekun, Femi Falano probably is in his 60s. The man that owns the university, Afe Babalola, he is probably in his 80s. They have gotten used to reading. That reading doesn't intimidate them. You see, they got used to it. It's not that reading is, they were reading in school, they got the law degree, they went to law school, then they started practicing law, then they were going to court regularly, then they were having high-profile cases and go. So I'm sure Afe in his 80s, I'm sure he's still reading. It's now become a lifestyle. It's like oxygen. Praise the Lord. At the end, that's how prayer will be. It's a little tough at the beginning. Papa Raf told us, prayer is first a duty. When they say pray 1 hour, it's a duty. But as you start to do the duty, little by little, it becomes a discipline in which you do it, but you will stay there. And then later, prayer becomes a delight. Amen. You'll be praying, God will be talking to you. You'll be praying, the word of God will be opening to you. It now becomes a delight. It's first a duty. There's no doubt about that. From duty, it becomes discipline. From discipline, it became a delight. I used to be a very studious student. Like I was telling you now, 6 weeks to exam. It's not easy. So I first start, 1 hour, 2 hours. Then later, I turn 2 weeks to the exam. And I pick at 6 hours. I will still have lectures. Though. Lecture starts at 8. And ends at 5, sometimes 6. So I'll just, from the lecture, straight to black market. There's no black market anymore in UI, somewhere between India and Z. Enter black market, just take the rice and the fish, just quickly swallow, get to the room and sleep. And then wake up around 9:10. And then read till 1. When you now get to that last week, no lectures. If I go straight to class in the morning, you slept well, wake up, go and read 10 to 1. and then go home, rest, and go. Come back, read another 5 to 8, 9. Then it has become a delight by force. Exam is pointing in the face, and you have about 80 pages that you have not covered. Then when I sit down, I won't stand up. The rule there was once you sit down to read and open the book, the first 2 hours, you don't even get up. I remember one guy laughed at me. My tum-tum fell down, and I refused to get up. He said, now so a bad reach. It's discipline. Praise the Lord. Discipline. There are people like Pastor Luby, to the glory of God. They say, it's just, Pastor, pray 7 hours. Wakes up 4 a.m. And in that same stretch, he prays till 11, 12. In that same stretch. He's a man. He is not a spirit. He didn't start yesterday like that. Pastor has been praying for 40 years of regular praying. It has now become a delight. Praise the Lord. You will get there. I say you will get there. It becomes a delight. It becomes a delight. Amen. Last word. All these things. You know, how do we, when I started, what did I talk about? The person that won the linear effort and those who went 6 steps, sacrifice. I said, what made the difference? The Lord helped them. Amen. Spiritual growth. Tell God to help you. Praise the Lord. Tell God. We see what they did in church is to blind us to it. No. Face spiritual growth. But tell God to help you. Amen. Then you see it's no big deal. Because when you talk spiritual growth, now the devil will try to intimidate you. Say, God, help me. I want to grow spiritually. I want to read the word of God. I want to see revelation from the word of God. Praise the Lord. I want to pray. God, help me. Amen. And you just see God helping you. Amen. The energy will come. The revelation will come. Praise the Lord. Just get committed to it. The blood of Jesus, the word of God, and praying in the spirit. Those are your instruments. Amen. Use them. Sometimes you'll be weak. You may do, that's why the blood is there. You come back. Amen. The just man falls 7 times. But he does what? He stands again. Amen. And God is able to make you stand. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Pastor Lalu will round up for us.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for his mercy and the word that we've heard. I'll just have a recap. You know, there was a few. Yeah, I think it was last week when Prof started this introduction about vessels of glory. He started with a story. I believe it was last week when he was talking about the widow's oil and Elisha. Do you remember that story? Yeah, so we're going to go over it again. It kept coming to my mind, and I trust that I believe that the Lord put something in my heart for us as an action plan, because coupled with everything that we've heard, it's important that you have action plan. You know, Prof has already given, you know, insights from his own life and examples and also practical things to do with regards to prayer and intercession. But I had a strong nudge to go back to that particular story and be able to interpret it in our own present-day context, especially as it applies to us. The Bible says, write the vision and make it plain, so he that reads it will run. When you know the reason why you are doing what you are doing and the urgency, it will help you to take things more serious, you know, and things that hitherto you have not really taken serious, you know, or believed. The Bible says our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So we're going to go back to that scripture again, or that story. First, that 2 Kings chapter 4. It's a very short story, but it's packed full, you know. And so we'll revisit it and we'll read it together. You can give it to me in King James. Yeah, okay, or New King James. So he says, together, let's read this case. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his what? Great. So you know, we see there's a problem. She has a very big problem. She has a very big challenge. And we'll come back to it so we can interpret and see who the woman is, her two sons, who the creditor is, what the problem is. You know, let's go to the next verse. And so Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but what?" Okay, so emphasis in this verse is going to be the house, and it's also going to be the what? A jar of oil. Go to the next verse. Then he said, "Go, borrow what? Vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty what? Do not gather just a few." Next verse. "And when you have what? You shall do what? Shut the door behind you and your..." Then what? "Pour it into all those vessels and what? Set aside the full ones." Next verse. So she went from him and shut the door. So she obeyed the instruction behind her and her what? Sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she what? Poured it out. Next verse. "Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil what? Ceased." Next verse. "And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" Next verse. Yeah, so I believe that's the end of the story. I'm just going to pick some things out of that story. And by his grace and mercy, as the Lord helps me, be able to see how it applies to us. You know, I know it's deeper than this and there are more things, but to the degree that God has showed me for us, you know, we'll share it together. So let's go back to verse 1 and try and interpret. We're talking about vessels of glory. You know, and we're seeing a problem and we're seeing what the problem is and the solution to the problem. So we have this woman. The woman always, whenever you read the Bible, the woman represents the church, the corporate church. It represents all of us. Are we together? You know, so she's a wife of the sons of the prophets, you know, and all, an individual like us too. She's a Christian, we can say that. And we'll get to see as how it applies to us as New Testament Christians and young people. You know, he says, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord." So we're talking about, the Bible says that old things are passed away, all things have become new. Adam is dead, you know, the old nature is dead. We are dead in Christ. Are we together? We are dead. We are dead. We are alive to Christ. Are we together? Romans chapter 6. If you give me Romans chapter 6, it says that, you know, we died with him. You know, if we died with him, we're also what? Raised with him. So we can see that this woman is you and me, you know, as many of us are born again. You know, her husband is dead. The old nature, the old man is dead, you know, but the new man is alive. Are we together? And he now says that, no, you have to stay in verse. Okay, yeah, okay, thank you. Says, "Therefore, we're what? Buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united in the likeness of his what? Death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his what? Resurrection." So you see, when I read the Old Testament, I always like to read it in the light of the New Testament, you know, how it applies to me and you. So let's go back to 2 Kings. So we see this woman. Husband is dead, you know, he feared the Lord, you know, but then there is a problem, even though she's born again. She's alive, you know, she's alive, you know. And then the Bible says, and the creditor is coming to take my what? Two sons to be his slaves. It's interesting. Now, I know that there can be different interpretations, but in the light of what we are taking us, it's interesting that even though this woman is alive and she has two sons, which in this case for us to stir us up, because the emphasis of, there are some emphasis that Prof laid out and I penned down amongst many things about growth, the importance of growth. You know, you don't stop at the seed level. You are supposed to bring forth much fruit and leaves that the birds of the air will come and, you know, find shelter upon, you know, to gain dominion, subdue the earth, become like Jesus, do the works that he did and greater. That is the desire of God. To grow from baby to become little children, from little children to become young men, from young men to become fathers, to grow from being children to become sons. And so the problem we have here is that we have two sons that the creditor will take as slaves. Now, the creditor, they're the two sons that you have, even though you're born again, is your soul. Are your soul and your physical body. Because when you get born again, you still have sin. The creditor, he wants to make them born slaves. You see, if you check it, it says to be slaves. Satan still wants to hold the soul and our physical body as slaves. The sin nature still wants to. So even though I'm born again, that's why he says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to another, and I cannot do the thing I want to do. Why? Because there is still a sin nature that I need to get rid of. I need to overcome. Trying to enslave my soul and enslave my physical body. And of course, it's going to affect my circumstances. It wants to affect my circumstances. It wants to keep me in these habits that hold me in bondage to sin. In captive to bad habits, in captive to the works of the flesh, the things I don't want to do, the things I don't like, the things I know that don't please God. And so the woman cries out and says, the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. That was one interpretation. The two sons, my soul and my physical body, even though I'm born again. Satan wants to hold them as slaves. He doesn't want me to grow, to be a son, to know who I am in Christ, to manifest the fullness of what God has in store for me. And then also, the two sons also mean the double anointing. The works that I do shall you do, and what? Greater. Elisha had the double anointing. Satan always wants to rob us. You see, and the thing, let me tell you, the thing that is going to save Nigeria, the thing that is going to save us, save our homes, save our community, save our nation, and save the world, is not going to be a change of government. Not just a change of government. It is going to be the double anointing, the power, the Spirit of God without measure. That is the only thing. It's not religion. It's just the truth. The depth that we have gotten into and the rot that the world has gotten into can only be transformed and saved by the Spirit without measure. It can only be turned around by the anointing without measure. It can only be turned around by people that are like Jesus, that are doing the works that he did and greater. Bible says that darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness the people. The Bible says, but will arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And you see, it says that people, kings, will come to the brightness of our rising. We haven't seen these things. What we are seeing right now is the darkness, the gross darkness, the challenges, political, economic, you know. And you think that it's just affecting them up there, but you can see that it's beginning to stray into the communities, and we are seeing how people are turning around. Are we together? So you can see the creditor wants to enslave her two sons. The two sons implying my soul and my physical body. Satan wants to hold me in captive. He wants to hold me in captivity. He doesn't want my soul and my body, even though I'm born again. She's a wife of a prophet too. Even though I'm born again, he doesn't want me to walk in the fullness of what God has for me. He doesn't even want me to know. He doesn't want me to believe it. He tries as much as possible, but he has failed in Jesus' name like he failed here. Are we together? Now, like I also said, the double anointing is what God has for you. If you check Isaiah, it talks about the double glory, the double anointing. The Lord just, he read the scriptures in Isaiah 60, 61 to a point, and then he left the remaining for us because there was more there. And in that same scripture, it talks about the double glory, the double anointing, which is what we should all be hungry for more of God. Because let me tell you, like I've said, the only thing that is going to make things turn around or make me walk in the fullness of what God has for me is the double glory, is the fullness of what God has for me, is God himself. Are we together? And so that's why we must go beyond when Prof talks about issue of life partner, career. God wants us to have wonderful life partners wonderful careers, but those things must help you. The aim, the desire of God is that even when he gives you those things, is to help you fulfill your purpose and destiny of inheriting the double glory. Why marry a woman like Job's wife that will want to take you back? Why have a career that you will seem to gain but lose your soul? Like Lot. Thank you, sir. So I would rather be an Abraham, fulfill purpose and destiny with patience and inherit the promise and have blessings and be rich and wealthy, you know, and be like Joseph, who got a beautiful wife with sons of purpose and destiny and still fulfilled purpose and destiny. But you can see that it took time and patience. Are we together? It took patience. It took development of character. It took him saving his soul, controlling his body in Potiphar's house, with Potiphar's wife as the exam and the test. You know, he's had his challenges, you know, but he was able to save his two sons so that he could inherit the double glory. Are we understanding what I'm saying? All right? So, let's go back to that woman's story, because, see, when you see this thing, that something wants to take you as a slave. And Prof and I were just discussing that, like he was telling me, the Babylon church, a Babylon spirit, the Antichrist spirit, is that has subtly entered the church. The aim is to hold people captive to just material desire, rather than this growth that we're talking about. This growth that we're talking about is strange to some ears, because it's not something that is popular. People don't talk about growth, that our sons may be as plants grow up in their youth, because those are the things that are going to set men and women free, are going to set nations free. People that are not Christians have material wealth. They are married. They will have wife today. They will divorce tomorrow. They will marry another one. Do you understand? So it's not so much now. I don't recommend that. But what I'm just trying to say is that people that are not Christians have many of the things that Christians are running after. Whereas when we get our priorities right, God will give us the best. Like we talked about Joseph and Abraham. God will give us the best of all those things. Do we understand? Are we together? So we need to refocus, because, and that's why, again, I need to say this. We need to know this, that if we as young people want to take and we want God to grant us, to give us Nigeria, it's important that we know that we get our own priorities right from here. The Bible says that build your house, do your work outside, you know, prepare yourself, and then build your house, I believe. All right? So there are some things that we are supposed to have done in the quarry outside. That was like the placards are not working. They won't work. Because there is more. The person that is going to take Nigeria into the next frontier has to be a prayer person like Daniel. Has to be a person that has a home like Noah that can bring his home into the ark. Has to be a person like Daniel that can intercede and birth. The next thing, because what we have next, what God has in store for Nigeria, he cannot give it to people that are going to do worse things. They will do worse. Do you understand? So it's not just about, oh, we are young, we should be the next ones to take Nigeria to the next level. No. Take it easy. If you don't yet have a habit and a heart and a love for the fear of God, the love of God, prayer, intercession, deep intercession, you can't learn that art. You will not get it. There are people that will pray that you won't get there. Do you understand? Because you will do worse. Because iniquities are abounding. The love of God is, the love of many is waxing cold, even in the body of Christ. Why? Because there are things that we have dumped and dropped behind. And we'll get to see what the woman is. I'm trusting that I can finish today. But you see, you will get to see that there are some things that we should get our acts right. Like Solomon built the temple, the stones of the temple, the stones of the new Nigeria are being quarried outside. Now, when I'm saying outside, what I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying abroad. What I'm trying to say is, before you start thinking of Jackpa, what I'm trying to say is, there are things you need to start preparing as individuals in your heart. Do I have a heart for God? Because those are the things that God is laying the foundation for the new Nigeria. He's laying the foundation for the temple. All right? And he wants to fill with his glory. You know? But the people that the stones that he has to put are the stones that will not bring him to shame and let him down. Do you understand? So this time he's taking his time. And he's trying to get young people all around that first and foremost, their priority and their heart is for God. Not just, oh, I want to change Nigeria. Let me give you, want to change Nigeria, you get there. That's why God took his time with Joseph. 2 extra years in prison. All right? And when the guy has gotten, his head was fully correct. God said, yeah, suddenly, like Prof said, the king called for him. So I said that so that, you know, we get our acts right. I recommend prayer rather than protest. Okay, great. Let's go back to verse. Okay, yeah, so we have verse 1. So we have seen the problem, and I'm seeing as an individual, 2 sons to be his slaves. And we'll get to the good story at the end, because it ends well about these 2 sons. If you are the woman, I'll show you the 2 sons later. And the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be his slaves. Next verse. So Elisha said to her. So Elisha is the type of the Lord, or we can also say spiritual authority, people that have matured, you know, in the body of Christ. Prophets, pastors, apostles, teachers, you know, the fivefold ministry. He says, tell me, what do you have in the house? Now, can you tell me where your house is? What is your house? Your body is your house. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 also says that this house that we groan in. So my body is house. So he says, what do I have in the house? And she said, and you say, your maidservant, she's very humble, has what? Nothing in the house but what? A jar of oil. The jar of oil is the Holy Ghost. The anointing is a symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm expecting that you're baptized, you're born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. So you can see we've stepped from the woman is born again. Husband is dead to sin. She's alive to God, you know. And then she has 2 sons extra, the soul and the body. And she has something to inherit from God, a double anointing, you know. Because there was a problem in the community. You know, the creditor wants to come, but he will not get us in Jesus' name. And the creditor is manifesting in different circumstances. They're circumstantial all around us. And so you have, she has in her house a jar of oil, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, she's born again. She's baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because oil symbolizes the Spirit. Next verse. Great. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. So now this instruction is very simple. It just means walk in love. The Bible says love your neighbor. Well, Old Testament is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the symbolic thing is love there. Because Jesus says love all men as I have given you commandments. Jesus said, so now she's walking. She's commanded to be humble, borrowing. Borrowing is not so much of you are in charge. The Bible says a borrower is servant to the lender. So she has a heart of a servant, a heart of humility, and she has neighbors that she has to learn to humble herself before. She has to walk in forgiveness before with. She has to walk in love with. Are we together? Are you following the story? You know, she has to walk in love with, you know, and she has to, empty vessel means that you can't have grudge with somebody. It has to be empty. You know, nothing can fill it. No insults, no grudges, no gossips. It's empty. She goes in humility to people. She's relating with them. She's forced to relate with them. The neighbor that she hasn't spoken to in years, she has to speak to the neighbor in all humility and ask for vessels. Are we together? Great. Okay, so those vessels and set aside the full ones. Yeah, next verse. Okay, yeah, so this is the next verse. No, you went too fast. Relax, cool down, calm down. Okay, and when you have done what? You should what? So you can see she first worked in love and humility. So these are lessons that I picked from the story, as Prof introduced the story to us, and which are practical things you need to study on a practical, on a daily basis, you know, so that you can enjoy what she enjoyed. And when you have come in, you shall do what? I can't hear you. Shut the door behind you and your... So, her, as the spirit, her sons, the soul and the what? Body. Now, shut the door. What does shut the door mean? Give me Matthew 6:6. Give us Matthew 6:6. Hurry up. So, by his mercy and grace, in his light, we are seeing light. We are seeing some things that we can start doing on a daily basis. But you, when you do what? Go into your... And when you have what? Pray what? To your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you openly. So you can see the interpretation for us. One interpretation for us is pray. The art of intercession and the habit of intercession and prayer. Prayer is not just for the pastor. Yeah, a boy, a guy, you don't know how to pray. There's a problem, oh. That's number one problem. You better learn to pray to pray. Like me, oh, I pray about my prayers. Did you hear what I said? I pray because I pray about the things I see challenges on. Especially these days when you have to do online prayers. Is your prayer still as effectual when you're away than when you're on site? I pray about my prayers. I pray about my prayer so I don't sleep when I'm praying. I pray about my prayer so that my feeling will feel like praying when it's time to pray or whether he doesn't want to pray. Because I know that prayer is essential for me at this time. It's like my oxygen mask. Because times are changing, I have to know. So, where I see weakness in, I pray about it too. Do you hear what I said? Don't feel that because you've heard that prayer is sweet and prayer, you can pray or you should pray. It should just be automatic. You need to pray about your prayers. Are we together? Now, if you are already strong, if you've passed that level, you don't have any problem. You don't have to pray about your prayers. Me, I know that I pray about my prayers. But the point I'm trying to make here is that prayer, the shutting of the door behind you and your sons, or whatever challenge, whatever area you're having challenges in, but primarily the sons, your soul and your body, and all other things. It might be academics, the issue of finance, it can be the issue of health, it can be family, it can be the nation, it can be school, academics, or a particular course, or a particular lecturer, a particular issue. You need to shut the door behind you and that son. Are we together? Because the son has a purpose. That son is supposed... Sons inherit. And sons take after their father's inheritance. So the creditor wanted to take this woman's sons as bond slave. I don't know the major place. Number one place I know that Satan always wants to take as bond slave is the issue of character and nature. Other things, they can afflict other things like health and finance and relationships and other matters arising. But the point is, the solution is get vessels, get time. Get time. We can make it like that. Get time, get a heart of forgiveness, a heart of humility. You know, shut the door behind you and your son and your sons. Those areas. Learn to pray about them or pray with them or pray concerning them. Are we together? Are you flowing with me? I'm just talking to myself. Are we flowing together? I'm just talking to myself. Great. Okay, so it's good to hear that. So, great. Okay, back to that. And then, behind you and your sons, then do what? Pour what? Pour, I can't hear you guys. Pour what? Eat into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So, what was she supposed to pour? The oil. What is the oil? The Spirit. The Bible says that, like Prof told us last week, you have the well, and then you have the river. The Bible says, out of your belly shall do what? Flow rivers of living water. How do we know that this oil is prayer and is intercession? Give me Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah 4. Verse 3, Zechariah 4:3. We'll just do a quick. It's in line with this oil issue and the two sons. And you see two olive trees here. I feel if I was the woman, I would be so happy because I believe this is how the two sons ended. They ended as two olive trees themselves. Just flow with my story. God is God's book, so you can use his scriptures. The most important thing to communicate with you and get the word across to you. Two olive trees are doing what? By it. One at the what? Right of the bowl, and the other at its what? Left. Verse 6. Verse 6. What are these, my Lord? We're coming there. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by what? Nor by, but by my, saith the Lord of hosts. Give me verse 7. Who are you, O great what? Mountain. Like the woman had challenges. Before what? Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and you shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of what? Grace, grace to it. Now go to verse 12. And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip what? Into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains. This is what they're trying to say. There is, you know, the candlestick that they light in the temple in those days. It used to be like 7 lampstands. Just imagine if you've never seen it. But the truth is, you can go and check it. They had like these lampstands that had 7 branches where they put 7 candles in the temple in the olden days, you know, in the Old Testament. And they would light those 7 candles, like the 7 spirits. They used to have, it's even pictured, it was a picture of what was in heaven, you know, that Moses saw to build the tabernacle. But you see, that fire needed to be lit or to be on continuously. So the technology, let's put it that way, was that oil needed to continue to what? To continue to what? Flow. And the oil was generated from the 2 olive trees, and they piped through a pipe, and then the pipe would feed the 7 golden lampstands. Are we together? Great. Okay, so it's very simple. I mean, we are 21st century, so we should understand even this. So he says, what are these 2 olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the 2 gold pipes from which the gold oil drains? Now give me verse 13. Verse 13, hurry up. Verse 13. Maybe the system has hung. Okay, yeah, so I'll just read it from here. Zechariah 4:13. Okay, so this is what I also wanted you to see. Okay, we can see that. I'll give it to you in King James, which is what I want you to see. Yes. So, and I answered again and said unto him, what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? They empty the golden oil what? Out of themselves. So you see, the oil is in you. You can shut up the oil if you want. But you need to empty the oil because God has already planted that oil. See, the woman had the oil and then she started emptying the oil out of that golden jar. Sorry, out of that jar, that only jar that she had. And she started emptying it into the different empty jars. So this is where the art of intercession comes. And the importance of praying, deep intercession. That was the deep calls unto the deep. The Bible says, the Lord just in the days of his flesh, he offered up strong crying. And so if you see in Zechariah, you see, he with shoutings of what? Grace. Grace. Not just shouts. Grace, grace. No. Deep cries of grace. You're having challenges with those. First, the area that we all have challenge in, which we should all hold God, is the area of our mind, our will, our emotions, our physical body, the habits that we have, and then the circumstances, academics, finances, issue of marriage, you know, health, and so on and so forth. You need to pour oil. Thank you. Verse 12, King James. You need to pour oil out of you, the jar, your spirit, into those other areas. Are we together? And so, let's read on, and let's just finish up. The Second Kings. So you empty out of yourself, as we are using scripture to interpret scripture, you are seeing yourself and the instruction that you have to practice. So this one, when you just see the woman pouring oil, you are now seeing it in your own life, and you are seeing your own life in her life, and what you have to do. Great. So, and thou shalt set that which is full aside. Next verse. So she went from him, she did what? So from today, I expect that you'll start shutting the door about different areas of your life, right? Especially because of your 2 sons, your soul and your body, so that the creditor will not take them. The inheritance that God has for you, to be able to transform the city, transform your field, transform the nation, transform the world. The double inheritance, the double glory that God wants to pour out upon us. Are we together? So we have this just in front of us so that the enemy will not steal it from us. We don't have time and we need to be hungry for it. And so she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, she who brought the vessels to her, and she did what? Poured out. So you need to pour out in the place of prayer. Are we together? And then let's see the next verse. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. So you are going to keep praying and praying and praying and praying until God's will and the solution concerning you personally, concerning God's will for you, different areas, your academics, your finances, and those other issues, you know, until they are full of God's power and you are seeing a transformation. But the point is humility. Humble yourself. Walk in love. Shut the door behind you and your sons. That's where prayer comes in. It's not just simple prayer. And pour out the oil. The oil is within you. Like you can see in the two golden trees, the golden lampstands, the oil, they poured out the oil from themselves. And you can see she poured out. The Bible says she poured out. You're going to keep pouring. You need to learn that art of pouring. And then the solution concerning those areas, your two sons, your soul, your body, the double inheritance and double glory God has for you and me. And then those circumstantial issues are going to be fixed in Jesus' name. That's why the Bible says that, who art thou, O mountain, thou stands before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become what? With shoutings of grace, grace. With cries of grace, grace to it in Jesus' name. Let's bow our head as we pray. As we bow our heads, I want you to talk to God. You see, take it personal and take it serious right now. My prayers these days, I said, God, you are my number one need. And when you see these stories and you see these solutions, the first thing that you should do is to invest it back in God. Invest it back in your relationship with God. I know you might have natural needs, natural challenges. God knows. The Bible says that He knows that you have need of all these things. But when you hear this kind of scriptures, pour it out first into your relationship with Him. How is your relationship with God? Is it bleak? Is it deep? Or is it shallow? And even if it is deep according to you, is it as deep as your walk with Jesus? Is it as deep as Jesus walked? Are you satisfied with where you are? Or is there more? I want you to talk to God. How hungry am I for God? Have I recognized that God is the number one thing? He's the sole thing that I need, that we need at this time. Invest, when God gives you something, invest it back to Him first. It gladdens His heart. And like we learnt, the oil that was in her, she emptied it into the vessels. Like the book of Zechariah, we could say that those two sons, she was able to pay for them. And you can now see in the book of Zechariah, we have two olive trees. And the Amplified Bible says that these are the two sons. They are emptying out of themselves oil. So imagine how God will be so pleased and how the woman will be so pleased that those two sons did not enter the creditor's hands, but they themselves ended up emptying out oil to save creation, to save men, to bring glory to God, to give light. Because there are those two olive plants are the two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth, and they empty out of themselves oil. God wants, just like your spirit is emptying out oil, God wants your mind to empty out oil, light. God wants your soul, your will, your emotions to empty out oil of love and forgiveness and character and compassion. Since God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God wants your physical body to empty out oil, anointing, life, like the body of the Lord Jesus. Wisdom, creativity, innovation, ingenuity. God wants oil, the anointing, the oil of the Spirit, from your spirit to flow into your soul, to flow into your physical body, so that the two sons also are not lost to the creditor, but they themselves are flowing with oil and giving light to the nations, light to the Gentiles, light in your field, light to our family, light to our community. If you are here, you're not born again, or you're here, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, heads bowed, eyes closed, I would like you to just raise up your hand wherever you are. That woman was born again. She had the jar of oil. She was anointed. She had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the earnest of the anointing. She prayed in the Spirit. That's how she was able to shut the door with her sons, and then from the oil that she had, what she had, empty out into the vessels, different areas of her life. And at the end also, we can see her two sons became olive plants, emptying out oil also. You are here, not born again or baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want you to just raise up your hand wherever you are. The ushers will lead you to the back immediately so they can pray with you. You are here, not born again. You are here, you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is an opportunity you don't want to miss. It's black and white in the scriptures with the interpretation by the help of the Holy Spirit. For those of us, let us stand up and pray together. And just say, cry for help, mercy, grace, and help. To help us to choose the fear of God, to help us to walk in love, to help us to pray in the Spirit. We say, Father, we confess our sins. Let's stand up on our feet. Let's stand up on our feet together. Say, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that we have heard today. Thank you for the story in the Bible that shows us about us, that you want us to understand and to learn the fear of God, to learn to be humble, to learn to walk in love regularly to all men, and that you will help us to pray in the Spirit with deep travail, Lord God, and communion with you and fellowship with you, so that we will be transformed, we will be saved. Even our souls, our bodies, our circumstances, every area will be filled with your oil, and we will experience your transformation even in this season and at this time. And we ourselves will be transforming agents on this planet, in every area and every place that you have planted us, in our own lives, in our homes, in our community, in our nation, in our fields, every area that you have given us and committed into our hands, in Jesus' name. That we will not lose our two sons to the creditor, but by your mercy, grace, and help, in all humility and in love, we will shut the door behind ourselves and our two sons through prayer and intercession and in faith. And then we will see the miraculous wonders of your glory as we empty out the oil into the jars and vessels and see a multiplication effect of your grace, of your goodness, of your mercy in every area, of your awesomeness and your glory in every aspect of our lives, to the praise and glory of your name, In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your mercies, Zakaya. Grace and help, Shakaturia. Mercies every day, Brakaya Shakapaturia. Brakapasunturia. Thank you, Father, Bashikteria. Lord, just thank you, Brakaya. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Brakapaturia. Brakapaturia, Bashikteria. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray.